This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast, our first episode of December and our first episode in about a month. To recap, an interesting Chelsea 3-2 victory against Brighton. Yes, there was the 2 weeks of an international break or the week off for international break. Chelsea then came back. They ended up playing Newcastle United, and forgive us for not wanting to record an episode about an absolute thrashing, but another game. And another red card for Chelsea in this one, Conor Gallagher being the recipient of that one, and we'll talk about it here on the episode. The one last week being Reece James. Chelsea still end up with the win after a crazy and wild first half, sit at 10th in the Premier League table. However, in points-wise, they're notched up with a couple of teams, Brentford being one of them, West Ham being just in front of them. We're going to talk about all of it on this episode. Josh here, Peter with me, Alex is when Peter asked me where's Alex, is he not joining, I responded he is very much sick, very sick at that. We hope he gets better, especially for us in the United States. I don't know how it works in England or overseas, I guess, but we do have finals coming up in the next couple weeks. I don't know how much we'll be recording this. I would like to continue recording this because it gives me a break mentally from the craziness that is studying and then preparing for those finals. So just bear with us for that. But I do hope, we both hope, I think Peter will speak for that too in a minute, that we both hope that Alex, you know, gets better and gets better quickly, because like I said, finals are approaching fast here. But let's talk about this game. No one cares about our finals. Chelsea, well, first of all, Peter, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I got scared, you know. I thought you were just going to do the entire podcast without ever mentioning my name, you know. Just go through it quickly. Chelsea 3-2 win, Ricard, let's look at the match stats, you know. But no, I'm doing well. I'm certainly, like you say, I hope Alex is getting better, you know. I'm not doing worse than him is how I'll describe my state. But I was also doing better coming off of the win, because obviously we love to see that. And then you mentioned how we're still in 10th in the table around teams like Brentford, and that obviously, you know, kind of brings me back down to earth, because you'd hope that, oh, a win like this 3-2 against Brighton, you know, Brighton, who've been, I wouldn't say they're our rivals, but, you know, we've certainly have a bit of a rivalry brewing, mostly more on Twitter about all the transfer dramas more than anything really on the pitch. But, you know, it was good to get a win there. Hopefully we're not 10th for long, but I don't know. It's just a good win. Happy to be here, excited to talk about it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. So, like I said, this game was really decided in the first half. We thought, right? You have Enzo Fernandez coming up with the goal in the 17th. And by the way, some wild goals in this game. I mean, I know everyone's talking about Liverpool's goals this past weekend, Peter. I don't know if you watched around the Premier League, but that game, every single one of Liverpool's goals was absolutely sensational. Let's talk about how this game went. We had a couple pretty nice goals in Levi Cole's goal. In the 21st minute, Enzo Fernandez in the 17th minute. But that's really where we all got super excited, because Chelsea, within a succession of 5 minutes, go out with a 2-0 lead. And we're like, okay, we're cruising. And then mayhem. We have a Brighton goal in the 43rd minute. 2 minutes later, all hell breaks loose, because Chelsea they're getting worried. They're kind of on their heels a little bit, or on their toes. I don't know. I guess either word of where on the feet they were headed works for this reference. And it just kind of goes to shit, excuse my language, because Conor Gallagher then gets a red card, and this is the second time now, like I said, in back-to-back matches where a Chelsea player has received a red card for a pretty red cardable offense. And luckily, they take it into half, still up 2-1. But I guess just go to you now for, like, what the hell happened in this first half?
Well, I mean, I'll start at the red card, because that's the last thing you mentioned, so it's fresh in my mind. And I'll just say, obviously, like you said, Reece James also getting that red card. I feel like this is kind of just kind of the growing pains we're going to have with this young squad. I think we're certainly lacking a lot of discipline. I mean, even besides the red cards, I think there's probably at least three players who are a yellow card away from suspension just from accumulating all of those. And so, I mean, really, it's just the discipline hasn't been great. I mean, I thought Gallagher is honest. Well, he's actually one of the most senior members of the squad, or at least he has a lot of experience. So I feel like he should be doing better there. He should know better than to do that. Obviously, completely deserved for him. You know, you just wish he'd understand the situation better. Obviously, in fact, it'd be half the time. We'd have this lead. And just take it into half. Obviously, we're on the back foot there. Like you said, they got all the momentum. But just maybe don't take the Brighton guy right off of his feet. Actually, Billy Gilmore, ex-Chelsea player. If real OGs of the podcast remember how much I loved Billy Gilmore when he still played for Chelsea. I don't know how many of you are out there, but I used to always talk about how good he was and how much I wanted to succeed at Chelsea. Bit of a throwback there. Just thought of that as I was talking about it. But yeah, I mean, like you say, Enzo Fernandez, I'll say that goal, finally his first Premier League goal. Yeah, it's been, I don't remember when he made his debut, been almost a year, basically. He almost went the entire year without scoring a Premier League goal, but, you know, glad to see him do that. Obviously, I mean, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but he obviously scores a brace here too with that penalty in the second half, but it's just good to see that too. Hopefully, you know, that kind of that opens the floodgates for him because he deserved a goal. I mean, he's gotten to so many good chances. I think maybe seeing one hit the back, well, seeing two hit the back of the net will do something for his confidence. And also, I'd love to see Cole Wolf get a goal. I wish he celebrated against the Brighton fans, though. He obviously, too much respect, you know, I respect it. But I wish he celebrated because honestly, with everything Brighton fans were talking about on Twitter and deserved B2 in the press conferences, he should have just celebrated. He should have done a full-on sue, maybe even more than that, you know, I don't know. Yeah, just celebrate, man. They deserve it. Brighton don't deserve to get any respect against them.
And so I want to talk about that goal too. I forgot to mention, thank you for clearing that up, with the Enzo Fernandez first goal in the Prem thus far. Well, let's hope. In a Chelsea uniform, I should say. That flick on by Badia Shiel in the left corner of the box, too, was phenomenal. You know, kind of like a bicycle kick of sorts, but just into the box as a cross in. And luckily, Fernandez is able to get on the back half of that effort, and they just sent that in for the goal. So then the second half rolls around. Enzo Fernandez gets a brace, gets a penalty, which sent Chelsea fans into, you know, a world of happiness, as they should have been. João Pedro scores late, like in 90 plus stoppage time to make it 3-2. And then we're once again sitting in our chairs thinking, could this really be classic Chelsea this season and last, where after all of this and Conor Gallagher's red card, before half, and then Chelsea making it 3-1, that after all of that, the entire second half, this game ends in a draw or even a Brighton win for that matter? Thank God it does not. However, it should have been. We are very lucky to escape the way we did. And I give a lot of credit, Peter, to a couple saves made by goaltender Robert Sanchez, because I thought he did a very good job. And I don't know, actually, that's a good question. Peter, do they even say goaltender and refer to soccer, or is that very much just a hockey thing that I pulled out for this? I guess it's goalkeeper, right?
It is goalkeeper, yeah. Very much a hockey thing. But,
very, you know, much a hockey thing.
He's such a sports guy. You know, you mix it up. I like it. Keep the listeners on their toes.
All is the same thing. It's still credit to Robert Sanchez, the goalkeeper, there you go, for his efforts in this match. I want to know if you agree with me about that, because I thought he did a very good job.
Yeah, no, definitely, I agree. I mean, throughout his entire time at Chelsea, I don't think really anyone's had any complaints about a shot-stopping ability. I mean, he's made all the saves he needed to do. It's not been like a Kepa situation where they start taking long shots from 25 yards out and he lets them all in anyway. mean, the only real drawback has been, I think, his skills playing out from the back. You know, he's had a couple of errant passes. Recently, I don't remember how many games ago it was, but he had that one where he passed it right to the opposing player and they got a goal off of it. But I mean, for the most part, his goalkeeping ability, not his, you know, his passing ability, has been top notch, and it's good to see, because it's been the first time since when Mendy had that incredible run where I have actual faith in our goalkeeper to make the saves that are needed. And it's, you need that to have a successful team in the Prem.
And so now with that, I move on to the match stats. And why do I say that Chelsea should have, you know, or this game should have ended in a draw or a Brighton win? You look at the shot totals, it's 18-8, 9-5 of them being on target Brighton's way. You look at possession, 68% of that Brighton's way. You look at passes, Brighton with more than double passes than Chelsea. Corners as well, 8-5, they led that. This was an offensive attack from Brighton, especially in the second half when they're up a man. It makes sense, but what doesn't make sense is that Chelsea escaped here with a win, to me, honestly, especially in the season that this team has had, in the year that this team has had of 2023. I feel like any other day you would tell me that Chelsea loses a man heading into halftime, I do not think and tell you that they beat a team and they win the game due to that. Peter, it is a win. And a win is a win. And with a win, we normally do our Chelsea player ratings. We don't have Alex with us, but just for fun, do you want to go through the ones that I have pulled up right now?
Sure. Why not?
So I just keep everyone on their toes here because we lost our site. So now I just do, I'm using goal.com this time. Peter, I feel like you're pretty
familiar. So we're switching it up every time. Okay. I like it.
I guess so. I mean, why not? I'm sure you've used goal.com before. It's a very big source in the football world.
Mm, yeah.
True. Let's see how much you know their ratings. They also don't give halves here. We used to, anyone who's new or returning, whatever, we did a long time ago. Whose list was it? It was Absolute Chelsea's list, I believe, of the player ratings, and they gave halves. So I would let Alex and Peter know if the teams gave halves or if the list gave halves for a certain player. There's no halves here. And the other thing is, we used to actually have a competition, and then we would do it after every game. At the end of the season, we were talking about after every, I think, Chelsea win. Could have been after every game, too, but I don't remember exactly. And then it would see, oh, who knew the most at the end of the season. We stopped that after last year because of how pitiful it was to talk about this team and go through our player ratings. So we're back now, but just for fun, we do it because it's, you know, there hasn't been that many wins in Chelsea's season this year as well. So, when we get back into the top three conversation, we'll bring it back for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Do the tiers and stuff like that. All right, Robert Sanchez, what out of 10 do you think he gets? We just talked about how good of a game he had.
We did, which means I can't go out and I'll give him a 7 because I can't really go out and give him any lower after I was just praising him. But I
that
could
is
see
true.
A 6.
Yeah, you could even give more. It's an 8 for Robert Sanchez.
What? No, that's
goal.
Fair. That's fair. That's deserved. That's
booed every time he touched it by the traveling fans, but was outstanding aside from one or two lapses in concentration with his feet. So 0-1 for you, but 1-0 in my heart. I love that rating that goal.com gave Robert Sanchez. The second player we're talking about here is Axel Disasi.
I mean, obviously, I'll give him bonus points because obviously in the natural position, you know, Reece James, red card, Busto, who I don't think you mentioned it, but he's going to be out for a few weeks, so I think Disasi will end up playing there for at least the next few games. But I'd say he was pretty solid. I feel like everyone's going to get a boost just because, obviously, holding on with 10 men, you obviously have to give them a boost. So I'll go with a 7 for Disasi.
One score lower. It's a 6 for Disasi. You started 0-2, but that word solid, they actually use in their description. Sometimes a little clumsy on the ball, but largely solid.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Thiago Silva in the back line.
See, that's kind of the same thing where I might rate them higher just because I think holding them on, but if Disasi got a 6, I think Silva also gets a 6.
Nope.
Okay.
It's a 7 for Thiago Silva.
Oh, okay. I have it backwards, I guess. Whoopsies.
Has been criticized a bit recently, but did not do much wrong here. Experience was important at the end of the day. So he gets a 7. You're 0-3. We'll see if you can turn it around here for the second half. Well, we're still in the back line, though. Batty Ashiel.
You did, talk about the flick on, obviously. Got to give him some faster. So I think also a 7 for him.
Your first one of the day. We're 1-for-4. Here we go. Let's see if we can turn a corner now with Levi Colwill.
Levi Colwill getting a goal. I don't know how much they value goals, though. But I'm going to go, I'll go 7 also.
2-for-5, 2 in a row.
See, I'm locked in now.
Pretty exceptional alongside Betty Scheel. Balanced his defensive and attacking responsibilities expertly and got on the score sheet. We head to the midfield now. Moises Caicedo.
Didn't really do anything insane. Didn't do anything incredibly bad like Gallagher getting the red card. So I'll go 6.
He got a 7. He got a 7. Impressed against his former club. Broke things up and played some line splitting passes.
8. That's fair.
So that's 2-for-6. Enzo Fernandez.
Cool goals. See, but I feel like if they valued goals, that Hadley Cole would have been at an 8. But it's 2 goals and the winning goal. With that, I'll go 9.
Enzo Fernandez gets an 8.
I was going to say 8.
2-for-7. Finished Chelsea's opener. His first Premier League goal, like a cultured number 9. Then showed nerves of steel to convert the penalty. An inspirational display in the middle. Connor Gallagher.
Oh.
I want to give you a hint, but I don't. I'm not saying.
No hint. I mean, I just don't know how much they're gonna hate for the red card. But I mean, it was so stupid that it has to be like a 3 or a 4. But I'll go 4 just because I don't think they'll go that low.
That's why I wanted to give you that. They did go that low. A 3 for Connor Gallagher.
Oh my! Of course.
You're having a day here.
I've been like one off every single time, and it's always been like, I should see both sides, and I just picked the wrong ones.
So 2-for-8 for you. The description here, booked for 2 clumsy challenges. The second one committed just after Chelsea conceded, was completely brainless. The incident won't help him in the first team, which is dangerous due to the immense return of Lavia. That is true. Interesting that they put that there. Next, in the attack, now we move Mudryk.
Won the penalty. I think you have to give him a 7 for that.
Correct. Gets one in. 3-for-9. Nico Jackson up front.
I'll also go 7.
Correct again. 4-for-10. And we end with Raheem Sterling.
I'm sensing a pattern among the front three, so I'll just go 7 again.
It's a 6 for Raheem Sterling.
Okay. It's too good to be true.
You end 4-for-11 of the day. Raheem Sterling's description, always trying to make things happen, but guilty of running down dead ends. Hard to escape the feelings that Chelsea needs a bit more from their most experienced attacker. And we can run through subs real quick. I'll just go really quick here. Cole Palmer.
Oh, am I guessing?
Yeah, Cole, if Palmer, you want, or I could just 6? Run through them. Yep, 6. Ian Matson.
6.
Yep, Ahmad Zabroja.
Also 6.
Yep. And Pochettino overall on the day. They actually rate overall? The manager. Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Honestly, I mean, holding on with 10 men, the tactics worked at the beginning before the red card. I'm gonna go 8.
It is an 8. Of course, everyone else, you get perfect. So perfect subs and manager grade. For Pochettino, it was Chelsea looked well coached when they were down to 10 men. That's something you've been able to say, or you haven't been able to say, excuse me, for some time.
Sure.
So... credit
we're
to,
including that I went about 50-50 if
we are, I including mean, that technically. And what 5-for-5 that was there,
yeah, exactly,
there we
if
go,
you had them all up, you know, pretty much.
Well, it would be nice if Chelsea can go 5-for-5 in the next 5 matches.
I would like that too. That would be much appreciated.
and there are matches in quick succession now. We have those midweek ones coming up that we're going to talk about. I'll preview those. So Man United versus Chelsea is actually happening, should be tomorrow when you're listening to this, or whenever you're listening. It's happening on Wednesday, December 6th for us at 3:15 on the East Coast of the United States. And then for people in England, that's 8:15, quick mass, I believe. It's going to be a tough watch, I think, Peter. Hopefully they can pull ahead. Man United isn't crazy good this year, but they are a better squad than Chelsea. I think that's pretty easily said. Chelsea then comes back and they play Everton. Actually, they travel to Everton. Their next home match isn't until the following week, so they do get a week off. They're going to play Sheffield United on Saturday. And then we get back to the EFL Cup. That quarterfinal round against Newcastle happens midweek, December 19th, a week before Christmas. And then Chelsea's back for a game on the 24th, day before, so Christmas Eve, and then we just keep on moving by. FA Cup comes around in the beginning of January. We'll get there when we get there. What I will say, though, is I started the episode with talking about how we have finals here. If you don't know, or if you do, I'll still say it, what happens after finals is the semester ends. So we're going to have a few weeks, a month at home, where we'll be able to do, hopefully, a good amount of these Talking Blues episodes, recapping matches. Unfortunately, that won't occur until starting on the 16th against Sheffield. Hopefully, we can get a midweek pod against Man U. It all depends on how busy our schedules are. But for right now, at least we covered this game. I know it's a few days late. We apologize. But Chelsea-Brighton, Chelsea 3, Brighton 2, even with a red card. What else? Do I have any other shout-outs? Announcements, subscribe to the podcast. Hit that thumbs up. There's no thumbs up button. But rate that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And the one last thing that I will say is that we're recording here on Zoom. Unfortunately, the subscription recording platform that makes our audio sound great, we're done with that subscription, unfortunately. So if there's any audio stuff, that's what it is. However, even though Alex is sitting on his deathbed, he's still able to edit this podcast. So probably what you're listening to me, you're going to be like, what are you talking about? That podcast sounds great. That's credit to Alex and his editing abilities. So when you rate us 5 stars in that comment section on Apple Podcasts, say thank you, Alex, for even though you're sick, you're still editing a great episode and I hear no audio issues. Peter, any last words?
Thank you, Alex. I'm glad we can torture you even when you're dying. Appreciated.
He's going to love that when he's listening back. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. Have a good one. Go Blues.